Blog Talk Radio.
Sisters, we're back. Yes, indeed. Thank the Most High that we're back again. Back again for another episode, another very precious episode of Hidden Gospel, Hidden Gospel Revealed. And I'm your host, Enemy Ab, Covenant Remembrance Ministries. I welcome you to the show. I thank the Most High for every ear that He brings near. For indeed, my brothers and sisters, as I said before, I'm very thankful for the opportunity to be back with you here again to speak these very precious words. Yes, very thankful to speak again with you these very precious words. The Most High has granted me for the blessing of His people. But the Most High has told me, yes, indeed, He's told me that for His cause, His purpose, I have for Him some very important things for Him that I must do. And He told me because of what I must do, He said to me that I would surely accrue some very powerful friends as well as enemies. But He told me that in doing for Him that which He has asked of me, He told me I'd have His protection and His guidance. For that, my brothers and sisters, yes, for that, I can only be utmost thankful. The Most High has told me, yes, indeed, He has told me. And I must tell you things, yes, indeed, that He has told me that I must tell you things. And men have done some of everything they could since the dawn of human fall to hide, to deny, to revert, to silence, my brothers and sisters, if they could, to destroy. And I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, whoever it is, wherever they are, any course of time, whoever has sought to hide these words from you, my brothers and sisters, I'm just going to make it plain, has been a murderer. Scripture tells us, well, my people are destroyed. Our people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Well, what does it mean then, my brothers and sisters? Well, consider the book of Romans, second chapter. The context, it relates, he who dies without the law, without the knowledge of the law of Yah, perishes without the law. You need to think about it, my brothers and sisters. By no means will any man of corruption, or pollution, a lie, enter the kingdom of Yah. Zephaniah 3:13 speaks well concerning the nature of those who indeed will enter the kingdom of Yah. I have to do well that I would post these scriptures up in the chat. I think it's probably a good idea that whenever I quote scripture as much as possible to post these things, because quite frankly, people need to see them, need to discern them for themselves. Zephaniah 3:13, in this case I'm going to use the King James Version, and here's what I'd like you to see. Zephaniah 3:13 says that the remnant of Israel, those who are going to walk into his kingdom and be called his people, he said, the remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouths, for they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. In other words, the truth itself, my brothers and sisters, and the love of the truth shall be the stability of the kingdom. Revelation 14, another place, it's good to discern this point. Revelation 14 chapter, here we find, it talks about the 144,000 having the name of the Father written upon their brows. There are quite a bit of scripture here to relate. Let me put out Revelation 14 and 1. Maybe this might help to understand my point. We understand who are wise that a contract and a covenant is signed with a name. And that the scripture says these will have the name of the Father written upon their brow is the same equation as understanding Jeremiah 31st chapter when it says, I will write my laws upon their minds and their hearts. And they shall be my people. Meaning that these are people who have not been left subject to and pursue the will of Yah, they not be left subject to all the variant ideals of men. They had the law when they received it, and they sought it by faith beyond all the various conspiracies and contradictions and, quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, delusions, illusions, confusion of man. It's probably good. I look at this scripture here, and I related Revelation 14. Then the mouth found no guile. They have the name of the Father written upon their brows. How about looking also at Jeremiah, 31st chapter? It's important to understand these things collectively. The covenant restored will never be, my brothers and sisters, and could never be, according to all the variant ideals established by men. The only way, my brothers and sisters, it's going to be that the people of the Most High shall be true to the one Most High beyond all others, is that it be according to the plan of Yah, whereby he said he will shepherd and gather again his people. What does this mean? What do I mean by this? I just put in the chat Jeremiah 31:33. This is the covenant I make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Most High, I will put my law in the inward parts, right upon their hearts. I will be their Holy One. They shall be my people. Hear me, my brothers and sisters. The Most High does not sign a contract that he did not write. When he says he'll write his laws upon the minds, and if you read further in the book of Hebrews, that's another place to look at it. He talks about his covenant restored. It means he will declare his covenant unto those who are most diligent, whom he calls. Therefore, they are liberated. These ones would be liberated. Did you hear me, my brothers and sisters? Beyond all the multitude of mass misinterpretations that have misguided so many over the course of ages to be or remain in bondage to the variant snares that confuse mankind. I want you to understand something, my brothers and sisters. In the book of Isaiah, my brothers and sisters, it is related a couple of times. In Isaiah 47, and in Isaiah 57, both cases relate that the wisdom of men has deceived them. Did you hear me, my brothers and sisters? The wisdom of men has deceived them. Understand. He says man has been wearied in the multitude of his corrupt ways. How about by the multitude of his corrupt rulers, who have not taught the fullness of all that is divinely intended? There's a need to understand all these scriptures and understand what they mean. That we understand why the scripture speaks of one, the Most High said he would send and call him by name. A lot to talk about, my brothers and sisters, about the plan of the Most High to discern, in fact, what is the line upon line, precept upon precept message. That the scriptures told us in advance that because the rulers sought to hide the truth, certain truths the rulers would never tell. That the end result of this, did you hear me, my brothers and sisters, that the end result of this has been the confusion of mankind, whereby men have refused to know the dimension of falsehood into which they've fallen and even become, in so many ways, complicit. Hebrews 10:16, this is the covenant, said that I will make with them after those days, said the Most High, I put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Understand, my brothers and sisters, when the gospel went forth, what was called sin, but man remaining subject to all the multitude of diverse allegiances, partial and corrupt, whereby men preferred, hear me, my brothers and sisters, darkness. I said darkness rather than light. Wise individual will understand that. The scripture says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? What it really means is that man, should he continue under a multitude of variant false rules, when the greater righteousness and light of the Most High, the word that he has declared from the beginning, is being restored? Think about it. Book of John, first chapter, in the beginning was the Word. Did you hear me? The beginning was the Word. The Word was with Yah. The beginning was a plan. Plan, it's true to Yah. Did you hear me, my brothers and sisters? It's in harmony with the Most High forever. He does not change. That plan is eternal. Most High did not lie. What he spoke from the beginning is the eventuality. He calls himself the Most High because he declared from the beginning the things that shall be. And despite all the variant misexpectations of man, he will still bring to pass what he said he would bring to pass. Despite all the false promises of all the rulers, he shall prove and that he shall bring to bear what he said, proving foolish all the variant standards of men. He shall prove, my brothers and sisters, therefore, that he is the Most High and there is none other. The wisest soul will understand the meaning of these things. But there are those, my brothers and sisters, rather than seeking the full fruition of truth, to maintain illusions, misconceits, false expectations, even when the opportunity to discern truth, long hid truth, is offered. Daniel 12:10 speaks of how in the last days of this age, Scripture talks about knowledge being increased. But it also related that in the midst of this time, it shall come to pass that those who sought to do good works, or let's just say the fullness of what the Most High has declared, shall understand. But none of the wicked shall understand. Well, let me put the scripture out there for you quickly. We need to understand, our brothers and sisters, that scriptures are telling us that the standard we must attain to is beyond the status quo. Like I said, many have had the law, but they did not seek it by faith. They trusted in the multitude of diverse ideals of their rulers. And the rulers, my brothers and sisters, in so many ways are blind. Revelation 6 chapter says the Messiah appears. They're all running for cover, hiding from the face of the Lamb. Him who sits upon the throne, because they've all been treacherous against the right knowledge of the law. You can't have 45,000 denominations and believe they're all true to the will of one. You can believe a multitude of contradictions are a work of his spirit. All work of a diligent soul in his spirit. You cannot be a disciple unto him. I repeat, Philippians, the third chapter, says basically that if we do not seek the perfect will of Yah, Revelation 3, 1 through 6 relates the same. If we call upon his name and don't seek the perfect will of Yah, there's a multitude of partialities and pollutions that only confuse and even act, my brothers and sisters, as a curse against the salvation of a human soul. The gospel is not a word tainted after any of the devices of the nations. The gospel, my brothers and sisters, is not any of the fallen precepts seeming wise among the nations. It was a word that went forth to the nations. The nations are not going to deliver themselves according to their own misconceits. The gospel is a word the Most High sent forth from his people Israel to reach out and touch again, to revive the hearts, minds, and souls of his people, that they might become one again in him. To revive and restore his people, it said in Malachi, according to righteousness as of old, as in former years. But I would like to ask, my brothers and sisters, since the scriptures all speak about a time of great restoration. I said, since the scriptures all speak about a time of great restoration, how is it that most have been so proud of where they are in a multitude of, what, 45,000 denominations, 208 nations, 19 world religions? So proud, so seduced, so fatally flattered by men who have exploited the people to believe that they had authority to preach in the name of the Most High at all. Many of my brothers and sisters seeking comfort in and for perpetuation of their own vanities. What do I mean by this? The Holy Spirit teaches all things, no lie in it. Those who are called by the Spirit are called also, my brothers and sisters, to seek the whole truth. A faithful minister of Yahweh will seek to teach you all things. Even as the Spirit seeks to reveal all things. There's a need to understand what this means. 2 Peter, first chapter. Talks about, by your diligence for knowledge, you make your election sure. Said, go forth and teach all nations. That means we ought to seek all things. Convert all the nations. That means it's not after the ways of the partial and pluralist standards of the nations. said, teach them to do everything he commands. Baptize them in the name. How about according to the fullness of the testimony, the word of the Most High? Even that fullness of a testimony makes the Father and Son one after the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that teaches the testimony, the full testimony of the Most High. Purity and completion offering one choice. That's the only peace. In fact, in Hebrew, the word for peace also relates complete. How is it that many believe? Some 45,000 institutions must be partial in some way, or else you would only have one true church. And that's all there would be in the whole world. Must be some pollution in the midst, or else there wouldn't be controversy with regard to the doctrine. Many are they being called. Many who call themselves pastors want to call themselves wise far, far, far before the time. We are warned against that in 1 Corinthians 3:18-4:5. It says, in the name of the Most High, we must all speak the same thing, no divisions among us. That requires a mutual sense of growth. If we're going to call upon the name of the Most High, we have to seek all his word. Purity and completion offering one choice unto a covenant. A multitude of partial standards cannot be. The Most High will not defile his name with any polluted or perverse partial standard. So the scriptures talk about this 144,000, the remnant of Israel, will speak no lies, do no iniquity, no guile found in mouths. They follow the Lamb wherever he leads. What does the scriptures say concerning Messiah? What does the scriptures say concerning Messiah in Acts 3:18-23? It speaks in this wise, my brothers and sisters, that he will what? Bring forth the restitution, restoration of all things, according to all the Most High has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets. Since the world began, whoever will not hearken to them to that cumulative word. He said, be cut off from among the people. That means all are obliged, obligated, and called upon the name of the Most High to speak the total truth, that no one speaks a lie. That's right. You have to learn how not to speak a lie. Scripture says in the book of Jacob, they call James, there'll be a multitude of provocations among the nations, and that's exactly what the nations are. They seek to keep people blinded. Each nation, each denomination, after the constraints of his own ideals, it is provocation against the Most High, whereby men have sought to keep other men from not discerning the fullness of the divine way. And we are warned in spite of all these obstacles, short-sighted standards. We are warned that our patience, perseverance in the Most High must still bring forth the perfect work beyond every obstacle, seeking beyond all delusions, debate, and doubt, all mockery, misrepresentation. It says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Call him double-minded. Why? If your allegiance is put to some of the varied partialities and pluralities of this world. Remember, you can't serve two masters. Most High said you shall have no other God but he. That means no other standard but his. We are all obligated for one another's sake, and that the sanctity of the holy name be preserved, that the holy conscience be preserved in this earth. We are all obligated to seek the whole truth. Love the Most High with all mind, heart, soul, and might. You don't have to tell somebody who loves a thing to seek. We're all commanded to seek the Most High with all our minds, heart, soul, and might. Allow him to fully write his laws upon our minds and hearts. We're warned against the idea about putting his name upon any vanity, any short-sighted, polluted, or perverted standard. We're warned against false prophets. How do we know that we're not falling victim to those who teach a false, fallen, flawed? Look at the letters. Fleshly, foolish, deceptive doctrine. False prophet doesn't teach after the spirit that teaches all things. They seek to hide something from you. That's the nature of a lie. It will never tell you the whole truth. What does this mean? We're all obligated in order to be able to see beyond a false prophet, a fallen testimony, to seek the whole word. We're told, when the Most High calls, we are told, that if we love him, we would keep, preserve, guard, defend the fullness of his commands against all other pollutions. How shall man enter the kingdom of Yah, my brothers and sisters, lest the pollutions are no more? So what has to be abolished, my brothers and sisters? Is it divine law or is the flaw of man? The Greeks had a word, nomos. They used the same word for their law and divine law. And you know that the rulers were not going to have their law abolished if they could help it. They murdered millions who understood there was a need to transcend all the rulers. Messiah said your rights must succeed. Basically, he was saying your rulers. When anyway deny the law and the prophets, else you shall not enter the kingdom of Yah. Micaiah 5:14-24. If anyone seeks to make a man foolish against the law of the prophets, he's guilty of the hellfire. What does that mean about all the institutions of man that hide the truth from you, that you might be held in continual bondage? Murderers, every single one of them. It's time to come out from this confusion, my brothers and sisters. Yes, indeed it is. It's time to come out from this confusion. Flee the mist of Babylon if you want to save your life. Seek beyond the infection of misconstrusions that this world has taught. Because in the day of judgment, which is also the day of salvation, the world will see a light it has not seen. And every misconceived, my brothers and sisters, beguiled mankind will be cast aside, that at last it shall be. Mm-hmm. Men shall know what it is to praise Yah, fully according to what is honorable unto him. I know I've said a lot of things here, and I've said it rather rapidly. Nevertheless, I can only advise, for the sake of the fullness of the testimony that needs to be spoken tonight. Please, if you will, show it afterwards, be in the archives. Need to listen to it again, please do. Most times told me the words that I'm speaking to you now are very precious, but they're only for the most humble, diligent, and obedient soul. Messiah said, if you love me, keep my commandments, guard my commandments, and I'll reveal myself. Hear me, my brothers and sisters. There's much truth that the world does not by and large comprehend. Many do not comprehend, but simply because they're willing to trust the rulers first rather than asking the Most High. I already told you, the scriptures tell us in Isaiah 41, there's truth the rulers will never tell. A prophet is called to speak what others would not. A prophet, my brothers and sisters, called by the Most High, knows he has to speak the whole word. Too often institutions, however, come to a level of what they think is sufficient knowledge just simply to profiteer. They have forgotten the commission of the Most High. Go forth and teach all nations everything. Convert the nations. Can't be converted after their own will. Most High was even then telling men that the ways of the nations are foolish. In 1 Corinthians, we can read through about 3:14-4:5. Most High knows the thoughts of men, incomplete, polluted. Oftentimes the defilement in the midst of the temple are vain. Scripture says he will pollute the temple, Yah will destroy. There's a need then for every soul to transcend. Whatever carnality, misconceit has incorporated and intruded itself upon the minds. Because truly, my brothers and sisters, that unto the Most High, even unto his Messiah, it is written, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear allegiance. Only way that can be, my brothers and sisters, that every misconceit and false testimony is exposed as what it is, a lie. Let me read to you a little bit of scripture. It's important that we understand some of what they've been hiding from us. At least I think tonight I might have a time to relate a bit. Let's do this. Isaiah, I'm going to read this from the Aramaic. I think that might be a little better. In this case, I know it will be. The 44th chapter in the 20th verse. We read this from the Aramaic. I believe in this case that those verses from that text is much more clear for those who are willing to understand it, especially in light of what's written in Isaiah 29. Scripture tells us in advance that the rulers will be found to have, in so many respects, and even their interpretation in so many ways, blind. Not what everybody wants to hear. Truth is what it is. Messiah will have to lead men again to discern the ways they had not known. Isaiah, we're going to get to that in a minute and just show you just how pivotal those verses collectively that I'm about to speak of truly are. Line upon line, precept upon precept, there's a need to understand how all these things work together. Isaiah 44 and 20, their imagination is dull. They are surely gone astray, speaking about humanity, and cannot deliver themselves, nor say, our right hand has wrought falsehood. Not the kind of thing most people would like to hear. Let me repeat it to you. Speaking of humanity, multitude of different doctrines on the part of many different rulers has only caused debate and doubt and confusion among the people. What else can it be? You ever stop to consider that those who preserve a multitude of polluted, partial standards are all obstacles against the son of the greater truth? Most High told me directly, he said, some of the biggest lies have been told to hide the greatest truths. Every lie man believes is an obstacle against discerning the greater truth. The greatest wisdom is not what people think they know, but what they don't know. What they think they know, not giving consideration to all that the Most High has spoken. Well, that's not wisdom at all. Some of the greatest gift he can give is the law, for which his people might learn again how to cooperate. A common sense of rule, order, all mutually respected by all men. That men might cooperate. Yes, my brothers and sisters, they might again love and trust. Recognizing all after the same orientation, after the same Most High. Discerning certain truths, my brothers and sisters, that the only way they discern them together is that the Most High wrote it upon their hearts himself. Concepts, my brothers and sisters, that the ordinary mind is not truly comprehend. In fact, in the book of Enoch, it relates it this way. Blessed are you if you are capable of comprehending the elect one. There are those who believe the Messiah comes. They say, they heard the scripture that says, be watchful that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. My brothers and sisters, they have a lot of people believing that Messiah is coming out the sky. It doesn't take anything if somebody comes out of the sky big as the moon. No, my brothers and sisters, that's not what the scriptures say how Messiah will appear. Zephaniah 2:15-3 and 6 talks about a city from which Messiah shall emerge, reproving all the diverse standards of this world that are at that city, that he might reprove a whole world at once from that place. Scriptures say the same thing as Zephaniah 3:15-3 and 6. You still find the same concept in Isaiah 25:1-3-10. You find the same concept in Revelation 16:12-21, 6:12-7:2, then the 7:17. Many other places in the scripture speaks of this same scenario. Isaiah 24:10-16. My question to ask is why your rulers didn't tell you that. They have you believing that this idea about clouds has to do with somebody coming from the sky. Let me tell you something. Clouds are always seen as heavenly messengers that people might discern the nature of what it is that is planned from on high. In other words, whether or not they could work or whether or not they couldn't, whether they could not. Certain winds, certain densities of clouds, hey, they knew whether they could work, whether there was a hot wind coming or whether they had time before it rained. These are agricultural people. Scripture talks about they all walked under the same cloud coming out of Egypt. What do you think that's talking about? Same testimony after the same spirit. That's the way it reads in 1 Corinthians 10. The scripture talks about a cloud of witnesses in Hebrews. Hear me, my brothers and sisters, in Hebrews in the what? Hebrews 12, Clouds will recognize as a testimony. Messiah is coming with a testimony that's going to prove foolish all the varied ideals of man. Why didn't they teach you this thing like they should have? Why didn't they tell you the Messiah would come according to Isaiah 49, 1 through 6, saying, listen to me, O Isles, hearken to me, O you nation. The Most High is coming from the womb and from the body of my mother, as he made mention of my name, saying, behold my servant, my elected, my soul delights, I put my spirit upon him. The ancient concept of Messiah was always an anointed man, and quite frankly, for those who understand it, are ready to understand it, the ancient concept of Messiah was not necessarily the body you see, for the spirit within him was pre-incarnate from the beginning. Messiah is not the body you see, but the spirit that speaks from within him. How many are prepared to understand? Isaiah 40:4-20. I'm looking at my time. I have to give myself a little bit more. Realize there's a lot to still speak. We're just getting really started, frankly. Isaiah 44:20. Their imagination is dull. They're surely gone astray. Cannot deliver themselves. Cannot see beyond their own personal indiscretion. How can a man see beyond his own error? Think about it, my brothers and sisters. The higher is the conscience, the higher one can be raised who follows it. The imagination is dull. Men have seen so many pluralist different ideas call upon the name of the Most High, but not according to a fullness of a word that men have not recognized reverently enough the need to seek further. Like I said, had the law, but did not seek it fully by faith. Did not seek it beyond their rulers. Had a great zeal for Yah, but not under full discretion. That's what that word means. Great desire for Israel, he said in Romans 10, that they might be saved. How about made one? And I mean, the only way it could happen is that they seek beyond all their rulers. Because many not discerning the righteousness of Yah, said seek to establish their own righteousness, not the righteousness of Yah, nor is it his salvation. Righteousness relates the idea about a seekitude and a desire for all that is divine will. Seek anything less, it's a false oath. Took a false name, oath in his name. Said in the last days, all who call upon the name of the Lord Most High shall be saved. How about brought to one standard? Delivered beyond all the misconceits of this world. Saved, made, healed. Beyond all the pollution and dis-ease of this earth. And it says in Jerusalem, the city of peace shall be delivered to the remnant whom the Most High has called. Meaning, the men call upon this name, but not according to a fullness of a standard, and not desirous of that fullness. A false oath, brothers and sisters, delivers no one. Exodus 20:10. Shall not take my name in vain. Shall not call upon my name not to seek the fullness of his truth. A multitude of partial standards, my brothers and sisters, according to the book of Galatians, the first chapter is a curse. If any man preach any other word and call it the gospel, that word, basar, for gospel. What does it mean? That some people say good tidings. The word for good means whole, complete, pure tidings. The whole, complete message. It's the whole, complete message, my brothers and sisters, taught by all the pluralistic nations and denominations of this earth. Think again. See, if you pray, anyone preaches any other word as if it was the gospel, the complete and sufficient word to transcend this world, so let him be accursed. There's only one word, of brothers and sisters, that transcends all misconceit. There's only one law that is lawful, and it's the law that belongs to the Most High. Nothing else is equitable. Nothing else, my brothers and sisters, is righteousness. Nothing else is justice. Everything else is robbery against him. Who is this, my brothers and sisters, that would slight the Most High and still say that he is true but a devil? What do you think it is when man misrepresents the lies against the Most High? What do you think devils do? It's not after the spirit of Yah that men do this. It's after negligence, indiligence, self-righteousness, and personal agendas. You swear your name to the Most High, but brothers and sisters, must be willing to love him in his ways, even the desire for all that's necessary to manifest his kingdom, even more than you love yourself. And if you cannot do that, you don't have a place in that kingdom, because each man must humble himself for the sake of the holy name and the greater learning of the truth that will come from the Most High, for even not only for his own sake, but for the sake of his brother. That is the concretion, the confirming, and the sealing of those who belong and have a place in the kingdom of Yah. The firmity that is necessary for men to enter and remain to be called citizens in the kingdom of Yah. Kingdom of Yah. He said, if you love me, keep, guard, maintain, love my commandments. His commandments, conscience, all that holds the sanctity and surety of a firm foundation as a covenant, as an agreement together. Because there is no covenant where everyone seeks to interpret all things differently according to their own mind. That's just continual confusion. Isn't it time we know better? So it says in the Aramaic, the 21st verse of 44th chapter of Isaiah, it says, remember these things, O Jacob and Israel, for you are my servant. How can one serve the Most High lest he has his command? For you are my servant. In other words, he's calling to serve him. Yah, I said, I have formed you, for you are my servant, O Israel. Ah, in the Aramaic it says here, from henceforth forget me not. One man gets the covenant of the Most High, he forgets it, what good is it to a future generation? Should man receive the covenant, forget it, and still upon a faulty foundation say that he is wise? Secret things belong to the Most High. Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong to the Most High, but those things which he has revealed belong to us and to our children forever. It says in the last days, though we have fallen away, these things must be remembered. Read 29:29 through 30 and 8 of Deuteronomy and understand what is the obligation of all who call upon the name of the Most High. And if we all understood that obligation for the preservation of a pure and perfect word, not being seduced by those who would snare those who would be comforted in their indiligence, slothfulness. But brothers and sisters, we see beyond this illusion. But that is required of those who are true. 22nd verse, I've blotted out your iniquities like a thick mist. What are these iniquities? All the inequities, all the uncleannesses of this world that have blinded mankind. All the ways that seem right unto men, but the end thereof is death. Proverbs, 14:20 and 16:25? See, I blotted out your iniquities as a thick mist and your sins as a cloud. Return to me, for I have saved you. If the Most High begins to show his people beyond all the things that have blinded them, shall men reject the light and still be called true? What is he saying over in, John 3, 14-21? Those who want to do good works will come into the light. There are those, my brothers and sisters, who are evil. They don't want to come to the light lest their works be manifest, lest they be revealed that they were evil rather than manifest and revealed by Yah. Yah so loved the world, gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him might not perish, especially those who believe in his name. Matthew 1:21 was his name? And he's called his name Yeshua, that he may deliver his people from their sins. How about every misallegiance? Every partial and perverted standard that have divided his people. He can say he gave his life, died and rose to be Lord. He said, if I do not go, the comforter will not come. I'm talking about 14:9 Romans. It's about 16th chapter of Yohanan. He said, if I do not go, the comforter will not come. What is he saying? He gave his life seeking the pure and perfect truth, that in his resurrection, those who believe might receive his spirit, knowing there's a righteousness beyond those rulers who condemned him. Yes. It's time to understand the doctrine of what it meant when they talk about Messiah crucified. That men might know, send them notice, seek a greater righteousness than their rulers. Seek the truth higher than their rulers. Recognize their rulers still to be worldliness. So much of what men have called light, still darkness. Did you hear me? So much of what men call light, still some variation of darkness, and that truths are being hid from you. Scripture talks about that light being brought back to the minds of men in the latter days. But after men have become proud of so much darkness, who's ready to hear it? Micaiah. Well, let's go back to Isaiah 52:15. Kings should shut their mouths because of him, someone who has an exceeding conscience. Isaiah 52. Kings shut their mouths because of him, because that which they had not considered, they should be made to consider. Who's going to believe his report? But those who know to seek beyond the rulers. Faith is not constrained after a multitude of worldly contentions. or misruling entities. Faith is knowing that Yah is wiser than them all, and he will reprove, according to Isaiah 41, Malachi 3, Zechariah 13. He's going to reprove all the rulers of the earth. Isaiah 34 says the same, saying none of them, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory, the conscience, what honors Yah. How many of our brothers and sisters ready to listen and hearken to the one who Most High said he would call by name? Why does he have to call him by name? Does it require somebody called by name that they know who's supposed to, like, bring people out from a physical Babylon? A land of confusion of a multitude of different rulers. What about bringing them out from a spiritual Babylon? That the man discern with discretion whose word is true. See, I blot out your iniquities like a thick mist, and your sins as a cloud. Return to me. In other words, think about it. The sun in its rising, high in the sky, oftentimes burns away the clouds of the morning. So it said, return to me, for I have saved you. I've shown you again the light. So it says, sing, O heavens, for the Most High has done it. Shout, O you foundations, there is break forth into singing, O mountains, O forest and every tree therein. For the Most High has saved Yaakov and glorified himself in Israel. I would simply tell you that many times this text is taken in, some text related as past tense, some present tense, some future tense. But there's a very powerful secret to be understood about these verses, and I'll show them to you when we get into the 45th chapter. What is so important about this one that in your King James Version they call Cyrus? I would tell you that's not his name. The kingdom he ruled over came to be called Kurdistan, and that's for a reason. I can simply tell you that what's there is just simply a CRS, a KRS. And those who know the truth know that people in that part of the world oftentimes relate an R with a kind of rolling sound that sometimes is almost like a DRT. Like you hear people in Russian, if they want to say, like I heard one say with my own ears, one time, Dubba, the best. That TH was not there. It was a D sound. Something like a lot of people you hear in Upper Africa come over here and say, Dem Day. D. Something about the way they wound up speaking in the Middle East. But sometimes the T, TH, sound like a D sound. I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, there's something not to be understood, but like I said, the kingdom was called Kurdistan for a reason. A lot of this is on my website, hiddengospel.com, article called Early Church Origin, Mutual Expectation. Thus says the Most High, 44:24, thus says the Most who saved you and formed you from the womb and helped you. I, the Most High, who made all things, who stretched out the heavens alone, who spread out the earth by myself, who makes void the signs of diviners, in other words, men who are presumed presumptuous, he proves foolish their counsel, despises their divinations, who turns, shows wise men, and what men call wise, to be only backward and foolish, makes their knowledge and proves it foolish, deceptive. Hey, not the work of his spirit. But the Most High will confirm the word of his servant. He performed the counsel of his messenger, the ones he sends with his message. And who said to Jerusalem, you shall be inhabited, the cities of Judah, you shall be built. I'll raise up the ruins thereof. Who said to the deep, be dry, who dries up the rivers. Wow. That scripture needs to be compared to Revelation 16:12-21. Rivers dried up as a symbol of man seeing beyond the mindscapes of their rulers, recognizing the need to see a greater righteousness, that the way the scripture says in Revelation 16:12 is that the king of the east might be prepared. Those who understand, the one who is called the Kurdi bore that title, King of the East, bore the title, Sunrise, bore the title, Morning Star. East, King of the East, Righteous One from the East, Isaiah 41. King of the East, Revelation 16:12, for whom the rivers will be dried up. In other words, men prepared to see the greater righteousness of a greater king, for until a king comes whose righteousness reveals all the light the world would obscure. There is no justice. There is no salvation. That king that comes like the rising sun, suddenly like the rising sun, casts out all the darkness, reveals the light the world would obscure, and shows us so much of what the world called light to still be the ensnarements of those who keep men in darkness. This one, then, my brothers and sisters, without question, a savior. Messiah said in Revelation 22:16, he is the root and offspring of David, the bright morning star. How many understand that speaks of Isaiah 11? Root and stem of Jesse, who discerns after the greatest spirit beyond all the wickedness, wherefore wicked is lawlessness of all the nations. Amazing concept for those who are ready to receive it. Let's consider, my brothers and sisters, what those scriptures actually say. It said, because he exposes all the lawless rather than lawful standards of men. To him every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. It's the same thing when it says, unto him shall all the nations seek, and his rest shall be glorious. It means that men shall recognize the one who brings that exceeding light, that exposes all the darkness, as him whom the Most High has sinned, that his people might see beyond every ill vision, illusion, that you and we are the same. Think about it. It's time we understand what these scriptures are saying. He said, Most High says, who says to Cyrus, he is my shepherd, or the Kurdi, he is my shepherd, and shall perform all my pleasure. Ooh, if I had time, we'd talk also about Isaiah 46:8-13. Talking about that man from a far land who performs all the Most High is pleased with to overthrow all this Babylonish confusion whereby men have not rightly discerned the will of Yah. Even saying to Jerusalem, a city that must have peace, that means all conform to one will, you shall be built. The temple, your foundations shall be laid. He's called the shepherd of his people. How about he unto whom all the nations must seek? Him who gathers together all the nations. The one called Shiloh in Genesis 49:10. The one out of the tribe of Judah. The lawgiver unto whom it all belongs. The one whom the scripture said come from between the feet of Judah. Out of the tribe of Judah. And that unto him must all the gathering of the people be. How many are ready to understand, my brothers and sisters, what those scriptures mean when it talks about the one in Isaiah 41 says, the righteous one like the rising sun, who exposes all the rulers, exposes all the kings, dust to his sword, driven stubble to his bow, declaring a word, pure and perfect, like a sharp two-edged sword that discerns who desires righteousness and who desires less. It's time we understand the reality. It says, temple, your foundation shall be laid. Book of Zephaniah 3:8, 6:12 talks about one, the word they put down there for branch is also the word for sunrise. Aramaic, dinka. Hebrew, samach. Greek, anatole. All words, all these words relate both branch, and that's what springs forth like the sudden rising of the sun. Besides, said, I'm a written offspring of David, the bright morning star. What was he talking about? Zechariah was a post-exilic prophet after the reign of the one called Cyrus the Great. And Zechariah spoke of his return. Malachi did too, and he said, talk about the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. He for whom you are waiting, they will wait for the Lord to renew their strength. The scriptures say he already had the name of the Father. How many recognize, my brothers and sisters, the scripture says this one he calls by name must declare the testimony. He is the only one who can in a world where all have sinned and fallen short of the glory. Scripture says he would come saying in Isaiah 50, morning by morning, the Most High has caused my ears to hear the teaching. And I would not turn back the rebellious way. He comes to overcome and see beyond all the illusions of this world that others might be made powerful, discerning, to be able to do the same. That's what the scriptures mean. The scripture says he's going to expose all the rulers that his people might gain strength. Isaiah 41. That's what's meant when the scripture says those who believed in him, he gave them power to become sons of Yah. Because all else are the sons of darkness. He gives them power of the light, exceeding light, to cast out all the darkness. And men might become the sons of light, brothers and sisters. The invariant light is the word of the Most High. Jacob 1:17. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, in whom there's no variableness, no shadow of changing. Scriptures say concerning him, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Yah shall endure forever. Meaning all those who walk after the carnality, seeming wise after the reprobate mind, all that should pass away. Most High told me all that's necessary to create a devil, if man be left without the greater wisdom of Yah, left to his own presumptuousness, left to his partiality, and his partiality and his zeal for truth. And still proud as if to say that he had been in all things diligent. And get past the illusion, my brothers and sisters, get past the deviation, you need to seek a pure, perfect word. And the Most High didn't say you would confirm anything less. We're going to talk about that too, God willing. I'm looking at my time, I might have to give myself some more. Scriptures, my brothers and sisters, at Revelation 6 and 12 to 7 2. Talking about those who receive the seal of the living Yah. What else does it mean? But no one will be confirmed but those who, my brothers and sisters, have a pure and perfect word. Versus the marks of the beast, the standards of the various nations. The word for beast is goyim. Goy. And it relates, my brothers and sisters, the varying ideals of a multitude of Gentile nations that would not reason as one. What separates man from beast but the reasoning capacity of his spirit and soul? His mind. Say, come, let us reason together. And that means reason with Yah. Wherever there's two or more gathered in his name, there where he said he would be in the midst. But that is that men seek him beyond themselves. So we reason together. We read as good as the land, but if not, we deliver to the sword, for the mouth of the Most High has spoken it. Only the reasonable, my brothers and sisters, are willing to believe the truth will attain to that kingdom. A lot to say, my brothers and sisters, tonight in a short time. But the truth still must be told. Like I said, this may be a show that many might want to take and listen to it time and time again in the archives to comprehend the gravity, the height, depth, and breadth of it all. Isaiah 45 and 1. Thus is the Most High to his anointed one. Word from anointed is Mashiach, Messiah. Kurdi. Whose right hand I have upheld to subdue nations before him. Did you hear me? Whose right hand I have upheld to subdue nations before him. How about to expose all the false rulers? Say, I will loose the loins of kings. Open the doors before him. The gates should not be shut. Seeing beyond all the misrule of all the rulers. Say, I will go before you to make the crooked places straight. I will go before you to make crooked places straight. Where else have we seen those verses? I will break in pieces the guard gates of brass and cut asunder the bars of iron. In other words, wherever it is men have imprisoned the minds after a fallen doctrine, he will expose the greater truth that men might see beyond the veil. He will expose and show the greater truth, reveal the greater truth that men might see beyond the veil of every controlling body of knowledge that has kept men blind. See, I will give you the treasures that are hidden in the darkness and the buried riches of the secret places. I would have you to know, my brothers and sisters, how these scriptures should have been interpreted. See, I would give you the treasures that are hidden in the darkness. And the buried treasures of the secret places, that you may know that I, the Most High, who call you by your name, am the Holy One of Israel. Let us examine, my brothers and sisters, what these words, if better interpreted, should be at 45 and 3. How about 45 and 4? He says, for Jacob my servant's sake and for Israel my elect, I've even called you by your name. I have surnamed, given you a very special and powerful name. It's even the name of the Father, my brothers and sisters. With what else should the Most High be glorified? By another name? No. That you should surely, I would have you to know that the word there, for not. Some texts read it a little bit differently. You say, though you have not known me, they chose to translate it in some texts. I would only have to tell you that, my brothers and sisters, the word that's down there for not, that's in that verse, you need to know what that word is. That word in the Hebrew let me pull it out, 45:4. were low. Word for known is yada. That's the Hebrew word low, which is H3808. One of its meanings, my brothers and sisters, I must make this plain, is it could be translated as not disregard, not ignore. Okay? If you examine the word closely, maybe you might need to look at both the Strong's Concordance and the Concordance for the NASB version. You might find that quite interesting. Think about what it's saying. See, I've called you by your name. I've surnamed you, given you the name of the Most High, that you should not disregard him. It's a personal letter to someone when he appears. He says, I am Yah, there's none else, no mighty one beside me. They said, I've girded, same word for strengthen, else you could not know me. This is someone the Most High has called aside in the midst of a world of blindness. How about this, my brothers and sisters, that he would know the Most High that others may know, even all Israel. What about Isaiah 49, saying, from the body of my mother he made mention of my name. How about to reveal his glory, his light? Made his mouth like a sharp sword, discerning his righteousness. Even to bring Israel back to him, even to be his salvation to the ends of the earth. Translate it and look at it. They may know that there is none else, nor a mighty one but him. He strengthens this one first. Else he could not know him. It's the Most High has the strength to make a Savior. As they may know from the rising sun to the west. Rising sun and from the west. Same thing. Draw near to me, he says, all the ends of the earth in Isaiah 45. Listen to me, O isles, all you nations afar off. Listen to me. Why? That they all might know the one Most High, one who comes to reveal his glory, Isaiah 49. That they might only know that Yah alone is salvation, and there is none other. They know from same thing from the rising sun to the west, none else but Yah. Be a salvation even out to all the nations, even to the Gentiles. Salvation to the ends of the earth, east, west, north, south. Same. Isn't it time, my brothers and sisters, we compare these scriptures? Talks about the one who revealed the hidden things. What about Isaiah 40? Well, how about 1 Corinthians 4 and 5? Shaul talked about the one that says, let no man consider himself so wise before the time, which is many, with many have done, but there's so many different standards. Let no man consider himself so wise before the time, till the Most High sends Messiah to reveal the hidden things. And then shall every man know how to praise Yah. That he comes to reveal all those who hide the truth from you and to reveal the things, my brothers and sisters, that they hid. Same story right here in Isaiah 45. How many of my brothers and sisters understand that the same words here that are speaking of Yeshua in 1 Corinthians 4 or 5 is speaking about the one called the Kurdi in Isaiah 45:1-6. Talk about the one who drives up the rivers, called the King of the East. You look at Revelation 16:12, and Messiah is going to be there called the King of the East, and he says, behold, I come. One called the King of the East, according to Isaiah 41, reproves all the false rulers of the nations, that men might transcend the foolishness of them all. Isn't it time, my brothers and sisters, we see how all these things work together to be discerned true to their initial intents? Let's continue Isaiah 45 and understand what's going on here. At the 45 and 7, let's consider. You say, I form light and create darkness. That's the way they translate it in your text. How about the idea that he is the one who gives discretion or leads man in darkness? Did you hear me? If he shows man discretion and the common standard, that would be peace. But if he chooses not to show the greater truth, and he decides to whom he shows it, then there's only depravity, hardship, injustice, evil, deviation from that perfect state that must still be discerned. So I, the Most High, do all these things. If it's only the Most High who can raise the conscience, only the Most High who can make a savior, how is it that men feel that they can walk against him and still be made wise? He said, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I'll reveal myself. It's time we understand what these scriptures mean, then, my brother and sister. He says, in the time of this one, it says, drop down, O heavens, from above. Let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open up. Let them bring forth salvation. Let righteousness spring up together. I, the Most High, have created it. Woe to him then who strives with his maker. Ah, shall man discern how he should be formed into that state that it will be preserved if he denies the maker? Or shall the potsherd, the pot ready to be broken, strive with other potsherds of the earth? Yeah, if they turn against the will of one, the contentions, my brothers and sisters, will destroy them all, their own contentions. He said, let the earth be comforted. Let all discern the pure will of Yah, after the Holy Spirit that teaches all things. That there might be an end to this warfare and confusion, look at Isaiah 40 and understand. Shall the clay, that which needs to be shapen into something worth something, it's just dirt otherwise, say to him that would fashion it or make it something worthy, what makest thou? Or the work, the thing that needs to be shapen into something precious, say that he who forms it has no hands. Woe to him that said to his father, what begettest thou? Or to his mother, what are you bringing forth? Our brothers and sisters, is still the maker that brings forth the thing. Isaiah 45 and 1 says, thus is the Most High, the Holy One of Israel, and his maker. In other words, guess what? Israel will one day have to awaken and say, to say to the Most High, you are the potter and we are the clay. We must all become the workmanship of his hands. Isaiah 64. I said, the Most High, the Holy One of Israel, is the maker. Ask of me concerning the things concerning my son and concerning the work of my hands. Do you think you command me? He said, I have made the earth and created man upon it. Even my hands have stretched out the heavens, and all their hosts have I commanded. I raised him up, and this one says he's going to raise up a man in righteousness. I would live all him. I would direct all his ways. He shall build my city. How about restore my people? He shall let go of my captives. He shall show forth a greater light, not for a price nor for a reward. Concerning these verses, is important that we consider these verses in the context of Isaiah. Let's just say Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42. And how about around the 16th verse? Let's consider the context, okay? He said, I will lead the blind by the way that they know not. Remember, Scripture said this one at first knew nothing. Most High would have to strengthen him and show him the way to show others. Even Israel has elect. See, he come, he awakens, he said, I will lead the blind by the way that they know not, and the path that they have not known. I'll make them to walk. I'll make darkness light before them. Most High brings forth light of discretion exceeding all the darkness. And the crooked places straight. Didn't we just read that in Isaiah 45? Who is it that shows the light that men might see clearly how to move straight forward? These things I have done to them and have not forsaken them. So all they will be greatly turned back, greatly ashamed, and trust in graven image. How about the folly of their rulers, false counsel of their rulers, the misimaginations of their rulers? See, their molten image is the same word for vanity, the misimaginations of man. And call all these multitude of differing ideas and presumptuousness gods? So here you deaf and understand, you may see or you blind. It is your leaders who have been, that you call it the servants of Yah, who have been the deaf and blind ones. It's time to understand, my brothers and sisters, what this means. That verse I just got through reading, it says, he'll make darkness light, crooked places straight. Should we not discern, my brothers and sisters, such scriptures as those at, for instance, how about Luke 3 and 5? Luke 3 and 5 tells us, concerning Messiah now, at Luke 3 and 5, we see the same scripture speaking about the one called the Kurdi being used toward Yeshua. Here, 3 and 5, all the valleys should be filled up. That's in Isaiah 40, my brothers and sisters. Mountains and hills should be lowered. The hills should be leveled down. Wow. Yes, it's starting to all fall together, isn't it? Crooked should be made straight, rough places made smooth, and all flesh should see the salvation of our Yah. If you read Isaiah 40 through 41, the voice crying in the wilderness, the Elijah-like voice, who does it speak about in Isaiah 41 but the coming of the one called the righteous one likened to the rising sun that reveals the light the world would obscure? It proves foolish the wisdom of the wise. How is it, my brothers and sisters, all this time most have not seen and discerned these scriptures in the right context? Isaiah 42, behold my servant, my elect, and my soul delights. I put my spirit upon him. Surely bring forth justice, and the isle shall wait for his law. Ah, it's a law exceeding the nations. What about Isaiah 12 and 18? Okay? What does it read? Amazingly enough, Isaiah 42, coming off Isaiah 40 and 41, speaking about that righteous one, according to Isaiah 41, 25, that has been hid. They put down north, it means the same thing has been hid. One who comes suddenly like the rising sun, the princes be trodden down like martyrs, the potter treads clay. It means all the false principalities and princes and principalities of the world should be exposed by his exceeding light. Those who walk in darkness seen a great light. Unto us a child is born, unto son is given. And my brothers and sisters, Isaiah 60 is chapter, talking about the one who brings forth peace, says, whoever will not walk in that light, that nation. 60 and 12, so that nation shall utterly perish. Most times, tends to make peace, my brothers and sisters. And that can only come when what he bring forth his wrath against every misrepresentation. That means none of these representations are viable. Bring forth wrath against every misrepresentation, that will he exalt the hand of one. What he said in Isaiah 41, it says 44, it's talking about the one whose hand he is upraised. Called by name. Why must the Most High call him by name that men discern that this is the one that he promised that would help man to see beyond all indiscretion? Ah, behold my servant, my elect, and my soul delights. Wow, Matthew 12 and 18. I put my spirit upon him to bring forth justice to the nations. He shall not contend nor be clamorous, nor shall anyone hear his voice in the streets, marketplace. It won't be his voice that people hear. It'll be the voice of the Most High. He would not even a bruised reed. He would not break him a bruised reed. In other words, whatever one is weak, he would seek to strengthen him. He would not extinguish a flickering lamp. As the light starts to show forth in any soul, he would not seek to extinguish it, but make a greater light. Until he brings justice to victory, or gives those who would seek justice the victory to see beyond every misconceit, every obstacle. And in his name shall the nations find and have hope. Him shall the nations seek. Oh, my brothers and sisters, they should wait for his law. It's the same word for brothers and sisters. In Isaiah 42, talking about the one called the King of the East, the righteous one likened to the rising sun. Who will understand, my brothers and sisters, whom Messiah said he is? We say that he is the written offspring of David, the bright morning star. Isn't it time we understand, my brothers and sisters, what's been hidden from us for a long time? Not discerning who the scriptures are speaking about when it talks about the King of the East in Revelation 16:12. Not understanding who this Curdy is. According to Isaiah 45. Really, from 40, Isaiah 40 all the way to 66. Not discerning that he comes to declare an absolution beyond every misconceit, and even to destroy every misconceit that only the light shows forth. Men have believed in their old folks would call it what? Lackadaisicalness? Slothfulness? Some folks would call it outright lazy. Not knowing to seek the greater truth because they look at so many different standards there. They don't go one somewhere, they can go somewhere else. Most have is appeased with them both. Men are all teaching their own standards, not willing to see the whole truth. Most High gives the spirit that they might do so, and men insulting the greater truth. Think the Most High would be delighted in such. And according to Hebrews 10:26, my brothers and sisters, reading on through the rest of the 10th chapter, reading out to the 12th. The soul that rejects the truth or is slothful in the pursuit of it is called without discipline, bastards and not sons. Who's ready to understand, my brothers and sisters, that there's a special reward for those who are most diligent. Read Isaiah 26:7-13. Those who have been most diligent for the truth, they will understand. But the wicked, those who have not sought the fullness, Scripture says they shall not understand. There's a reward for those who seek the truth that they might obey it. That prove that they want the truth, they might obey it. That when they find it, my brothers and sisters, are shown to be consistent. I know they didn't tell you all this in your churches. Scripture said in advance they wouldn't. And it's time, brothers and sisters, to see what they didn't tell you. Like I said, the Most High told me he sends prophets. I send the prophet to speak what others would not. Like I say, a lot of folks are so busy concerned with their pulpits and thrones, they never were concerned about the restoration of a people. But establishing institutions where they might continually ensnare and exploit those who never saw the greater light. That's the work of a devil, brothers and sisters, not a savior. He said the savior would bring forth and show forth the light of truth. And others would not. Who was willing to understand it in his time? Well, I can only tell you the time to understand is now. Well, I got a few seconds I'm going to leave open. And if anybody has any questions, because I know I've said a lot today, if anybody has any questions about anything that I have spoken, some may be in the chat, some might be listening perhaps via phone. If anybody has any questions, I'd be willing to answer. I just pray, my brothers and sisters, that many know to ask the Most High concerning everything that I've spoken. I say, blessed are those who the Most High compels their minds to understand the greater dimensions of my words. He told me they're very precious, but only for those, my brothers and sisters, who are utmost diligent, humble, faithful, and willing to be obedient. Their words, my brothers and sisters, for those who wish to serve Yah. The indiligent soul that fears its own ways, well, that's another story altogether. We should be wiser than that. Until we speak again, my brothers and sisters, this has been Edom Yah, the Covenant Remembrance Ministries. I see somebody just popped in, guessed what, 10, what's that, 10333? Well, if you've been listening at all, it seems like you just popped in. I see that in the chat. If you've been listening at all and have any questions, I'm going to leave it an open opportunity for a few minutes. If there's any questions about anything I have to say, you might have to sign in that you might type into the chat. But like I said, it's an easy call-in number. It's 661-554-9212. I said 661-554-9212. It's time for men to discern the Savior that they never knew. It's time that men discern that the Savior does not compromise after the multitude of diverse standards of men, but none of these diverse standards of the gospel. Everyone seeking to interpret a covenant as they will, according to pollutions, could never be a covenant. There's a big difference, my brothers and sisters, between the Greco-Roman idea of a Christ and the ancient Eastern concept, the one called the Kurdi, the righteous one. That was foreordained, my brothers and sisters, and was known even from the times of Noah. Some of you might find a little shocking to help understand this, but the term Kurdi, ancient Persian, and the word Sadiq, the Hebrew, kindred. The letters C, S. Well, you know, letters C sometimes sound like an S, sometimes sound like a K. That K sound, that T, S sound. T, S sometimes like an S, isn't it? If I told you about that K and that S and that C. The words mean righteous, my brothers and sisters. Both of them do. It's the exceeding righteousness of Yah revealed according to what is from the beginning. Scripture says he restores our righteousness as of old and former years in Malachi 3. As man prepared, my brothers and sisters, to discern what's necessary to stand before the Son of Man, who is the Word from the beginning. The Scripture says, comes to restore all things according to all the Most High spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets since world began, Acts 3:18-23. Is man prepared for that one who declared that man's righteousness should have always been a matter of seeking beyond all your leaders who in some respect deny the law and the prophets? Take anything the Most High said out of context. It's time we discern, my brothers and sisters, the reality. And quite frankly, he told me, whatever will not bring forth life, did you hear me, my brothers and sisters, is sin. He created all things to be able to procreate themselves. Whatever cannot do that is innately sin. Sin, brothers and sisters, why? There's no contradiction in perfect truth. No contradiction in the pattern of life. Nothing antithetical against anything else. The Most High created all things. He made them all to work together. So simple. The reasonable mind will capture these things quickly. It will capture these things quickly. Those who simply want to walk after their flesh will never understand. Carnal mind, enmity against the law, the peace, the perfect ideals. Like I said, I suspected as much, but like I said, opportunity granted for a moment. Someone know how to use an opportunity unto what's precious, and others only condemn themselves and that they did not and thought this was a plaything. It never was. To speak again, my brothers and sisters, this is an Edom Yah, Covenant Remembrance Ministries. Under his might, his honor, and his praise, always. Hallelujah! And I thank you all again for listening.
Make you understand if I